Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like...
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome
life's the Sandman.
Over, Sandman.
A recent survey says that the number one fear of retirees is running out of money in retirement. Many say, well, you should take 4% out of your portfolio each year. That'll help you avoid running out of money. But did you know that this strategy could cause you to run out of money? If you're at or near retirement, clear your schedule for the next hour as I unveil how the 4% rule could cause you to run out of money in retirement. Maybe something comes up during the week and you want to know what I might do. Well, email me at questions@pyaradio.com. Again, questions@pyaradio.com. We've got a good one this week. I'm going to be getting to there in a minute. So I was just talking about this recent survey that says the number one fear of retirees is running out of money in retirement. Would you step foot on an airplane if the pilot told you there's an 86% chance that you'll land safely? I wouldn't. One of the traditional rules we come across in retirement planning is withdrawing 4% each year from your investments to avoid running out of money in your lifetime. And this strategy could be very dangerous because if you follow it, it's possible to actually run out of money. And that's why you need to listen to the entire show today as we are going to discuss this 4% rule. So if you're planning on retiring or you're in retirement doing the 4% rule, don't end up in regret. Stay with us for the entire episode as we share how the 4% rule could ruin your retirement. Now, let's get started. Well, it was a relatively quiet week on Wall Street. The markets were all down. The Dow was off 2% this week. S&P down 1.2%. NASDAQ off slightly, 0.9. The MSCI EAFE International Index off 2.6. But all indexes are still looking pretty healthy for the year. The Dow's barely up, almost 2% for the year to date. S&P up over 14%. NASDAQ up over 30 still. And the MSCI International Index over 10% up. The 10-year Treasury had an interesting week in the Treasury market. We'll get to that, closing in at 4.3%. 4.06%. I was looking at something else. Year-to-date, barely up at all. So bond market still sort of flat. Oil getting over the $70, closing at 73.65, up the week 4.3%. Year-to-date off 8%. And bonds, again, sort of a quiet week, but for the week down 1.4%, so barely up on the year because we had some activity going on. Let's look at that. So overall markets this past week, fairly strong, still nothing major correction or anything like that. And this was due to this labor market. And we saw a pretty healthy demand in the service sector as well. And so the market is anticipating the Fed continuing to raise interest rates for longer. And so now the market is expecting that coming up here mid-July that the Fed will raise rates probably once more, bringing that rate to 5.25 to 5.5% and keep them there until May of 2024. This is what the market's anticipating, not what may happen. It's just what the market's thinking. So again, expect a raise here in July and then nothing happening again until May of 24. Unless, of course, the data is, of course, driving all of this. And if the data warrants it, if we see inflation still persisting, expect the Fed to raise rates more. From a market perspective, what does all this mean? Well, there have been implications that higher for longer is now the view for both the stocks and bonds. And why do I say that? Well, in the bond market, the Treasury yields have climbed higher as both the 10-year and the 2-year treasuries are higher. They keep going higher. So with the 10-year yield, we're seeing rates right now at 4%, which is pretty good. And on the 2-year, they're over 5%. So again, you're seeing an inverted yield curve. What that means is the short end of the curve is paying more than the long end of the curve. And traditionally, that has always signaled a slowdown or a recession. We've been talking about that forever. Has it happened? No, still not happening. So why? Well, what's going on is the stock market and the bond market are looking at the labor market. And so we're seeing the stock market come off this week a little bit. And why was that? Why did the market come down a little bit? Well, it was because of the bond market, because the bonds right now are paying so well. The short end, 5% or better on a 2-year, it's pretty good. A lot of clients calling about their CDs and they're getting 5% at the bank on a 1-year. And I always say to them, well, that's great, but what about inflation? And they say, well, what do you mean? And I say, well, you know, what is inflation today? We all know what it is. It's well over 4%, even closer to 5%, depending on what you read. And so what does a 5% CD really buy you? And also look at the labor market. This past week, this is what drove the markets this past week. It was all about labor. Labor has been a source of strength for the U.S. economy, even though the rates have been rising these last 16 months. And we saw this week markets looking at two pretty significant job reports that we saw for the month of June. You had two. You had the ADP and you had the non-farm payroll for the month of June, both which show resiliency and support and strength. And so when we look at each of those, it was important this week. And why? Well, first, when we look at the ADP number, this is the private payroll report for the month of June. It came in huge. I mean, it was at 497,000. That's amazing when the forecast was for 225. So almost double what was expected. And of the job ads, 75%, get this, were in the service sector. I mean, if you're traveling, if you're doing anything, you know what I'm talking about. It's crazy out there. Planes are packed, hotels are packed, restaurants are packed. When is it going to end, right? That's what everybody's wondering. So that's where all the jobs were, 75% in the service sector, 25% were in goods producing sectors. And the biggest gains obviously were in leisure and hospitality. Second, we had the June non-farm payroll report come out. Now, this was where the interesting news in my mind came out as well, because you had this extreme ADP number. And so we're expecting Friday's report to be, again, something that was surprising, but it wasn't. It painted a softer picture. The job ad in June was 209,000. Now, expectations were at 230,000, but remember last month we came in at 306,000, which again was sort of a blowout. So what's going on is that number is getting lower, which shows that it is slowing down a little bit, but not, again, not enough to warrant a recession, but it's getting slower, which is good. That's a good signal that the rising rates are working and slowing things down a little bit. The average hourly wage gain continued to remain elevated. It was a 4.4%, and that expectation was 4.2. So again, this is what I'm talking about. When you have cost of wages, cost of living going up over 4%, what does 4% really get you anymore? Now, as you know, the Fed is targeting growth at 3.5%, and they want to get inflation down to 2%. That's their target. But they're still a way away from getting there. And so we are still seeing this labor market on fire. It's still going hot. But again, remember, labor, these numbers we're getting, they're a lagging indicator of the true economic health, because they're reporting what just happened in the rearview mirror. And so as things start to slow down, just expect that that's when you're going to start to see more reaction in the market. One silver lining that I saw in the data this past week was, while labor remained resilient and the demand for services is strong, inflation didn't move that much higher. And in fact, it showed signs that it is still being contained, and in some cases, even contracting a little bit, as we looked at some of the ISM price paid components. So overall, it was a pretty interesting week. I just expect to see more of this as we sort of grind through where we are now. And I would just be, you know, if you made money in certain areas in the stocks, you might want to reposition some of those now into some of the areas that haven't really done well. Growth is still, I would call it an overdone trade. It's done much better than value. And so this might be the time to distribute some of that capital in some of those stocks that are paying better dividends and are lower priced earnings ratios right now, just to get out of those stocks that have done very, very well. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with taking some money off the table. Are you considering retiring anytime soon? Well, if you are or you're already retired, you need to find out what specific steps you should consider taking right now if you've been following that 4% withdrawal rule. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. I would be willing to bet that you would not step foot on an airplane if the pilot told you there was an 86% chance that you would land safely. Yet many are told to follow an outdated rule of thumb, which in the industry is called the 4% rule, for withdrawing their money, and they don't realize that they are running the risk of running out later on. And if you aren't familiar with this 4% rule, well, it goes like this. It basically says that you won't run out of money as long as you withdraw approximately 4% each year from your portfolio, and you have to adjust it for inflation each year. Now, this rule was created in the 90s based on stock and bond returns over a 50-year period of time from 1926. To 1976, and it made sense to many for a while. But as we know, times change, and so does investing. And for one thing, the 4% rule came about when interest rates were much higher. Back then, you could get a treasury note that was paying 6% or more. And as you know, we were talking about this earlier, now the 10-year treasury is barely paying 4%. And there are really no signs that it's going to be rising significantly in the near future, since the Fed has basically put a put on the stock market by keeping rates where they are, and we're not seeing much chance of them going that much higher. And so that means that many older investors are looking to stocks to make their money, and often they're taking more risk on in order to do that. So this type of strategy may work out while the market is good, or even if there's an occasional dip. But if your plan is to withdraw 4% from your retirement accounts every year and there's a drastic drop in the market, like we saw last October, or inflation continues above the 4% level for a while, suddenly you could be taking 4% out of a portfolio that's been cut by a third or even half. Now, when I was talking about the inflation level, as we said about a year ago, it was 8.58%. That was last year. And last year we saw the number come out around 4.93%. We're still over 4% according to the U.S. inflation rate under Weicharts, who talks about this. They say it's still over 4%, 4.05 to be specific at this point. But when you look at the cost of some of the items that we're out there purchasing, you would probably say, well, hey, it's way more than 4%. Like if I go to the grocery store and I buy a gallon of milk, or I'm looking at some of the produce that I used to buy, or even a bottle of wine from France, you see the price of these things now, they've gone way up. And so it's wondering, well, what's 4% really measuring? So, you know, I don't think any of us are going to really argue the fact that inflation is still here. It's still in everything that we're paying. Most trades and services have increased all of their costs for construction. And if you want to get anything done these days, it just costs that much more money. And of course, we have to all pay for that. So you need to consider that, because at the time that the 4% rule was created and it had the adjustment each year for inflation, as you take out your money to live on, what are you actually taking out? The 4% plus what to keep up with the prices that life costs you today in the Bay? Very good question, and I hope you have the answer to that, but you need to figure that out for yourself, obviously. What about the next one? This was a big one about the market drop. So if you're just retiring now, or say you are early in retirement and continuing to withdraw the same amount, well, if you had a portfolio that was fully invested and you weren't doing this in a more strategic way, when stocks drop, and we saw this last October, you may remember the market was down. And certainly if you think back to the corrections we've had during the short-lived pandemic, in terms of the correction, not how the pandemic lived on, I won't get into that. But the market, remember, the market came back pretty strongly, pretty quickly, compared to some of the previous down markets we saw, like the Great Recession of 2008 and 2000. We, you know, typically see these things last many, many years. And so if you start to withdraw money as markets are dropping, and you need to do that, say, on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis to keep up with your cost of living, we call that a pattern. And it's known as, you may want to write this down, the death spiral. Doesn't that sound great? The death spiral. That's because even if the market eventually recovers, your portfolio might not. And why is that? Well, because you may have had to reduce your withdrawals and your planned lifestyle, or you could just see it, the risk of running out of money was right there on the table. You just do the math and you say, well, I'm not gonna make it. What am I gonna do? So if you're lucky enough to live longer than you think you will, that's another one, add the increased longevity expense of that issue occurring. In other words, now you're gonna have to make that 4% plus the inflation increase last that many more years to make sure you don't run out of money. So think about that when you're seeing the rate of inflation, cost of living, portfolio performance, all these things can really start to come at you. And when you start to think about taking your Social Security income, and maybe you have a pension, or maybe you have some annuity income, other things to plan for, and taxes on top of that, you know, what other things should you consider? Well, the big one that I want to talk about right now are higher taxes. Higher taxes, whether you like it or not, are in your future. And here's why I say that. Because in 2017, you may remember they had the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that passed. Well, that lowered all of our tax rates, and in sort of in a big way. And that tax law will expire, whether you like it or not, in 2025. And if you've been looking at what Congress has been able not to get done lately, you're talking about a tax law that's going to expire in 2025. And then income tax rates are going to go back to what they were in 2017. Go take a look at those. Go see how much higher they were back then than they are now. You're going to pay more taxes. It's just coming. And the other thing that's going to happen in a big way is the standard deduction. You've been getting a pretty healthy deduction, but that's going to get cut in half once this law goes away. The other thing you have to consider, if you have an estate and you're trying to pass it on, say a piece of property or an investment account to your kids, is estate tax. And right now the estate tax is very healthy, of course, because of this 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act. But it's going to expire as well in 2025 and go back to what it used to be, which again is more than half of what it is today. So all these things, plus the fees you may be paying on your investments that you maybe don't even know about. Yes, you're paying fees, whether you know it or not. All of that can degrade your portfolio over time. And so you have to ask yourself the question, if you're thinking about this morning, is your lifestyle in the future, the way you're living your life now, the things that you're doing, is that lifestyle at risk? What if your portfolio doesn't produce enough income to cover the expenses as they come up in the future? Your spouse, you know, maybe you're sitting there thinking about, well, what if my spouse gets sick? What am I going to do? Will my insurance pay for all this? What will my deductibles be? How will I manage something like that? How will you cover your bills, and where should you take the funds from as things come up? Well, the first thing you need to do is pick up the phone and give me a call. For over 30 years, we at Protect Your Assets have been helping anyone in the Bay Area who just wants to talk about their taxes, their trust, or their financial services. We do have certified financial planners, we have CPAs, and we have attorneys all under one roof who work together to help you. As far as I know, we're the only firm in the area that does that. So give us a call. Call us right now and find out what you could be missing out on. 866-PROTECT, the number to call to get a second opinion. 866-PROTECT. You can speak with a member of my team right now. They're sitting there. Cam, Phil, give them a call. 866-776-8328. We are local right here. Give us a call. 866-776-8328 and find out what you're missing out on. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say if the 4% rule worked all these years, why won't it work in the future? You certainly don't want to miss this one. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. Hope you had a great 4th of July, everybody, and was a nice week. It was a short week, and as we talked about at the top of the hour, the market was a little quiet. We had some strong labor numbers, and the market pulled back a little bit. We saw interest rates rise on both the 10-year and the 2-year. 2-year getting pretty exciting now when you're looking at rates overall. And so there's some good value there, particularly in the agency market if you're looking for some federally protected bonds that are out there. So I know the financial investing world can be complex, intimidating, and you can become frozen or end up making mistakes or just missing out. And so, you know, it's good to take some advice. It's good to get a plan. It's good to make decisions, particularly if you can see where you're going. And this past week, we got to sit down with someone who was looking to have a certain amount of income each month. And it was really refreshing to show them that if they wanted to leave work next week, they could, because the portfolio that they had accumulated over time, investing in the market and contributing to their 401k, had done pretty well. And at this point in their life, they were just not wanting to continue to take all that risk they've been taking. And so they can dial it back now and start to live off of their money. And so that got us thinking about this 4% rule that is out there and how people are just following that blindly to, you know, live off of. And we were talking about that at the last segment. We'll get into that a little bit more. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know is that I don't. All right, so here's one they say. They say that if the 4% rule worked before, then why wouldn't it work again? Well, okay, first of all, we've been talking about this 4% rule all morning, and so let's go over what it is. It basically says that if you have a portfolio and you take 4% off of that each and every year, and you adjust it for inflation each year on top of that 4%, that your portfolio should last the rest of your life and take care of you. And like we were saying in the previous segment, that 4% rule is over 30 years old, and since that time, a lot has changed. Years ago, a top retirement researcher wrote about the differences between the market environment when the 4% rule was created and what it is today. It's been more than 10 years since, his name is Wade Fow, you can look him up, P-F-A-U, Fow, one of the top experts in retirement research, wrote a column, this was in MarketWatch, urging readers to say goodbye to the 4% rule. In the article, Professor Fow suggests that the rule, which is more of a theory really, made too many assumptions based on old numbers that didn't necessarily translate to today's markets or today's investors. And then a few months later, in 2013, Fow and fellow retirement specialist Michael Fink and David Blanchett published a study, and this was called The 4% Rule is Not Safe in a Low Yield World. And in the article, they go on to demonstrate why advisors who base their clients' withdrawal plan on this 4% rule and the data that was used behind it could be doing a disservice. In fact, could be even negligent to their clients because the historical data is just not correct anymore. And they go on to talk about the topic and how they felt about it and what some things you could do about it. Well, since this article came out, the topic has been debated in just about every financial forum out there, including this show. We've talked about it several times over the past 10 years. And not everyone believes the 4% rule must be completely discarded. But I think most specialists who study retirement, who work in retirement, would say that it is. And at most, if you're going to use it, maybe use it as a guideline or a starting point for determining what you should do, what might be appropriate for you. Because everybody's different. Everybody has different expenses, different things they're trying to accomplish. And don't use this as a hard and fast rule that you stick to. I think the point of all of it as well is that there really is truly no one size fits all rule that works for everyone in every single situation. And it's interesting how I'll sit down and talk with different folks who are at or near retirement, and they're already on this path. They're already on, well, I've got the 4% withdrawal rule, I've got this set up, and here's what I'm going to do. And then I throw something at them like, well, what if you're going to take your Social Security now? How will that work with your 4% withdrawal? Well, what do you mean? Well, you've been pulling out this much money each and every year, and now if you continue to do that with the rate of inflation, which we talked about last segment being pretty high, inflation is still double what the Fed would like to see it. What will that mean long term to your portfolio? What if the market does correct and we have another 20%+ drop? Which, of course, you know, these things happen. Will you be forced to sell things at that time, potentially at 20% or more loss of value, to come up with the capital to cover some of the expenses that come up, like a new roof or, you know, anything to do with your house? You know how expensive that could be. What will you do then? Well, I'm just not sure. I get it. And as you're receiving this extra income now from Social Security, and as I was talking about last segment, the 2017 Tax and Jobs Act that changed the tax law is going to be sunsetting, going away in 2025. And now all of a sudden you're paying more income tax because now you're selling off IRA assets or 401ks to cover some of those expenses. And now all of a sudden you have Social Security on top of that. And guess what? Now all of a sudden you have more income than you thought you were going to have, and you're going to be paying more taxes because, as we can see, tax rates will go up when that law sunsets. Not only will you lose most of your deduction you're taking now, but you're also going to be paying higher federal tax rates. And if you live here in California, well, we know what taxes look like here. They're high. And so overall, you got a lot to face. I understand that. So think about the facts of the 4% rule. Let's go look at some of the study and what it talked about. First of all, the safety of a 4%, and this came right out of the article, the safety of the 4% initial withdrawal strategy depends on this asset return assumptions. The asset returns, according again to this article, have declined when you look at it on these sort of longer time frames. If you add to that the intermediate term real interest rates, at the time that this came out, they were higher than they are today. And when you calibrate the actual bond returns, again, longer bond returns, because a lot of people come to me now and they say, well, I get a CD at 5%, or I'm getting these treasuries paying me 5% right now. And I say, yes, but those are on the short end of the yield curve, not the longer end. You're looking at the 1 to 18 month to 2 year. What happens when you go out to 5, 6, 10, 20 years out? Those rates are coming down, and that's because the market's telling you that rates will be lower later. And so this article says that when you calibrate the bond return to match the duration of the bond investment, I'm sorry to be obtuse, but this is what the article is saying, while maintaining your equity premium, this causes the failure rate. Now, this is the failure rate for retirement withdrawals to jump. Get this. This is right from this article, to 57%. 57%. Do you want to take a 57% chance that your strategy isn't going to work? I don't think so. And that's why you need to call me right now and get a second opinion about how you're going to implement your Social Security, your pension, any other sources of income that you have in conjunction with a withdrawal strategy to take advantage of the tax laws that are coming. There are ways to create tax-free, tax-efficient income in retirement, but unless you know what they are, and unless you know how to do it, you're probably going to make a mistake. Now, this is easy, it's painless, it's complimentary, and we do all the heavy lifting for you. So give us a call if you just feel like you want to talk to somebody about this right now. My staff are in office today. We're answering the phone right now. Pick up the phone. We are local. We're happy to talk to you. Call us, 866-PROTECT. Again, the number to call, 866-PROTECT. You can remove the gray area, wondering how to make your money last longer and feel better about your financial independence. Take action now and give me a call, 866-PROTECT. Give us a call. It's time for a quick break, but when I come back, what's the key to make sure you don't run out of money in retirement? The answer's coming up next. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here to protect your assets. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com, where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. So on today's show, we've been talking about how the 4% rule could ruin your retirement. And as I've been saying, I bet you would be willing to not step foot on an airplane if the pilot told you there was an 86% chance that you would land safely. Yet for many, they're told to follow these outdated rules of thumb, like this 4% rule, for how they withdraw money out of their portfolio. And again, the 4% rule essentially says that you take 4% out of your portfolio each and every year, and you adjust it for inflation. And as we know, inflation has been high the last few years. So if you've been following that strategy, you've been pulling out more money than normal from your portfolio. And so the question becomes, will you run out of money? And there were some studies and surveys I was talking about in the last segment, which said, yes, in fact, it's a pretty high probability that you could run out of money if that's the strategy that you've been doing. So right before the break, I was talking about some ways that you could implement a strategy to not run out of money. And so let's talk about that now. The key to making sure you don't run out of money in retirement is to focus on your income. And I say this all the time, it's all about income. Free income is the best, of course. If you don't have to pay taxes on it, it's great. So that reminds me about tax-free income being the second best type of income that you can get. Third best would be tax-deferred, and fourth would be taxable. Write that down. So the best type of money or income you can get is free money, of course. Second best is tax-free. Third is tax-deferred. Fourth is taxable. As you think about your investments and what they're going to produce for you, look at my smart money order. What's the best? What's the second best? What's the third best? And figure out ways to create those types of income sources for yourself. That's the first piece of advice for you. Second piece of advice, stop dollar cost ravaging. What do I mean by that? Well, when the market goes down, stop selling things to have cash available. You might want to think about creating a fund or another bucket of money that's shorter term, maybe 1 to 3 years out, where each anniversary, a bond would mature. You're going to have a ladder. That bond will be the capital that you'll live on that next year. So if anything does happen in the market, you're prepared to weather through it for up to three potential years without having to make any drastic switches on your other portfolio. Third is look at how you can create other sources of income that you cannot outlive. These things do exist out there. You just may not know about it. Right now, if you're 65 years old, I have something that will pay you 7.38%, you heard me right, of your premium for the rest of your life. Even if you burn through all of your money, they still have to pay you. We have other strategies that have increasing income as well, whereby you could start at a little bit lower rate, 6.2%, but have that income increase to a COLA adjustment based on an index that you can choose each and every year. So there are ways to create income that you cannot outlive, and this gives you peace of mind as you look at your plan. This week, I was lucky enough to meet with one of my clients, Rosemary, and her daughter, and we were sitting there talking about how this type of income she set up 10 years ago, now all of a sudden we're turning it on, and that with her Social Security is covering all of her annual living expenses. And so now her portfolio can grow, and she doesn't have to touch it unless she really needs to. So these are the types of things you can create if you think about it. Listen, if you need help, we can help you develop a strategy to maximize annual income and minimize taxes. Remember, we are one of the only firms in the area that has CPAs on staff. We actually do tax returns. We have attorneys, we have certified financial planners, all who work under one roof, who are sitting around wanting to design plans for you to show you how to take advantage of paying lower fees and getting the most out of Social Security and paying less taxes. It is just that easy. Now, what I would like you to do is inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. That's it. And picture a day when you don't have to worry about taxes, income, or expenses anymore. Picture a day when you're sitting on the deck of a large luxury liner in the Mediterranean. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all the things that you've always wanted to do. Well, it all starts with our 15-minute virtual checkup. Right now, we are ready to talk to you. We are live right now, here to help. If you have questions and they're not getting answered, or you just want to know, how can I get more tax-free income right now? How do I pay lower taxes? Well, find out. Remove the unknown. Get some help from a professional. Get your own 15-minute complimentary virtual checkup with a fiduciary by calling this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, the number to call to get help, 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone. Talk to Phil, 866-PROTECT, right now and get a second opinion. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers there, Phil, Cam, Raph. Thanks, guys, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.